Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
If you know Christ, you were not designed or called to journey through life alone. You're called to journey through life with a church family, striving together with one heart and one mind. Next on Daily in the Word with Paul Chappell, we learn how to strive together. You know, a lot of churches have lost the ability to stay unified, to stand together for the gospel, to strive together with one heart, one mind, and one spirit for the faith of the gospel. Today on Daily in the Word, we're going to rediscover and begin discovering how to strive together. Welcome to Daily in the Word with Dr. Paul Chappell. Dr. Chappell is the senior pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and the president and founder of West Coast Baptist College in the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California. And today we're going to study how to strive together. We're learning and relearning how to not go through life alone, but to arm in arm, heart to heart, shoulder to shoulder with our church family for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Strive together for the faith. I want to encourage you to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. You'll find lots of resources there, a daily devotional, the Daily in the Word podcast, as well as Dr. Chappell's two newest books. The first one, Stewarding Life, a beautiful hardback book that helps you understand how to take one lifetime of limited resources and live it for eternal priorities. The second is a book entitled Sacred Motives, 10 Reasons to Get Out of Bed Tomorrow Morning and Live for God. Both of these books will encourage and strengthen your walk with God, and you can find out more about them at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. Today we're going to learn how to strive together in faithfulness, Acts chapter 14. Here's Paul Chappell.
Well, I thank the Lord this morning that He is a God that does not change. We read in the Word of God in Malachi 3 and verse 6, "For I am the Lord, I change not." And we thank God for His immutability, for His unchanging nature. Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 23 tells us, "Great is thy faithfulness." And we're thankful today that His mercies are new every morning and that we're able to trust in our God and in His faithfulness. But while God is faithful, so many times Christians are unfaithful. And the songwriter said, "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it." And how many of you would be honest enough to say that we need God's strength and God's Spirit to help us to be faithful in the Christian life? And that's why the phrase in verse 24 jumps out at me every time I read the book of Acts. And I want you to look at it again because Paul the Apostle says, "But none of these things move me." He says, "I've had some problems in the past. I'll probably have some more problems when I go to Jerusalem. But none of these things move me." In other words, here was a man who had made his decision, "I'm going to be faithful to my God no matter what." Now, I'm going to tell you, friend, if you're going to finish your race faithfully, it's because you're going to make a decision like Paul the Apostle to say, "I'm not going to let anything move me or deter me from being faithful to my Lord." And that's the challenge that we have in the text before us this morning, being faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, a little background to Acts chapter 20. In this particular chapter of the Bible, the Apostle Paul was on his third missionary journey. His first missionary journey began in Acts 13. He was sent out by the church at Antioch, and he went from city to city preaching the gospel, always with persecution and always with fruit. And that's really the equation. There's going to be trials, But when we sow the seed of the Word of God, there will be fruit. Here on the third missionary journey, he had been to Ephesus. And now the Bible told us in verse 17 that he was in this little place called Miletus. And while we see the map, also look in your Bible at verse 17, and you'll notice it says, from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now, Paul was traveling. He was heading back, as we'll see in a moment. He was bound in his spirit to get to Jerusalem. He wanted to go to Jerusalem. He felt like God had called him to Jerusalem. But he wanted to take a little more time in Miletus to meet with the elders or the pastors or the leaders from Ephesus. And he called them together there for a meeting. Now, Ephesus had been a great ministry for the Apostle Paul. But one of the things we learn from him, he always was confirming and reconfirming and reestablishing people in their faith. We call it today discipleship. That's why we have our adult Bible classes. That's why we disciple new believers, so that things won't unravel, but we'll get a foundation. We'll be rooted and grounded in Christ. And so once again, he says, I want to meet with the leaders from Ephesus to give you some instructions before I go down to Jerusalem. And Ephesus was an amazing ministry for Paul. I had the privilege of visiting Ephesus in modern-day Turkey not long ago and several months ago. And in Ephesus, there were many houses that were on the outskirts of town, maybe a little less in the sense of more of a poverty-stricken area. But in the middle of the area, you'll see houses like this with beautiful coverings on the walls and tile and tapestry of all different forms, even during the Greek and Roman empires, running water and some of the modern conveniences for that day. And Paul had gone publicly and from house to house in this city, and he had gone from place to place telling people about Jesus Christ. The Celsus Library, one of the wonders of the world at that time, was a marvel in Ephesus and spoke of their tremendous educational advancements. And then, of course, on the next slide, you see the remains of the temple to the goddess Diana, and that reminds us of the paganism there at Ephesus. And there were many different false teachers. They had the goddess Nike and Zeus, and here was the temple to the goddess Diana. A lot of times there were wicked, immoral acts performed around these pagan god houses. This was the forum going down the road there, the Roman road, first the Greek road, then the Roman Empire, and stores would be along this road, and many wares would be sold. And Paul had gone to Ephesus publicly and from house to house, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now he's getting ready to leave the region. And so he gathers these leaders together, and he says, I'm going to Jerusalem. He says, now I don't know what's going to happen to me there, but I know this, nothing that could happen to me there is going to turn me from living for my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, if you've been saved more than a week, you've probably had some trials in your life. Maybe you've had some friends make fun of you because you go to church, because you don't party. Maybe you've had some different difficulties in your life. And it's a good thing sometimes to just say, you know what? I'm not going to forsake Jesus. I'm going to keep living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing's going to move me from serving Him. And I just want to take a few moments with you today and just ask this simple question. Why was Paul so faithful? And how can we be faithful today? What is it that kept him moving along in the Christian life? Because the devil's going to try to push us out of serving the Lord and get us away from loving God. But Paul said, none of these things move me. Now, how could he say that? And why did he finish his race for the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, let's notice some characteristics of his life. First of all, I want you to see, this man was a man bound in his spirit by compassion for others. He was bound by compassion. Now, in the Bible, we see this phrase, and I want you to see in verse 22 what he says. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. Now, the word bound in the Spirit references a strong leading of the Spirit, a strong desire from God. In other words, he wasn't doing this for himself. He wasn't doing it for mom and dad. But in his heart, he was bound to serve the Lord. The word bound is here given to us in the passive voice. It indicates Paul did not bind himself. He was bound of another. He was bound by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, friend, if you've been saved, that is, if you've been born again by the Spirit, then the Holy Spirit is in your life. You possess the Holy Spirit. The question of the Christian life, however, is this. Does the Holy Spirit possess you? Does he have you? Does he lead you and direct you in your life? And if he's leading your life, and if you're relying upon his power, then the chances and the opportunities for you to advance and finish well are much greater. Because it's not of your strength, it's not of your power, but as Zechariah said, it is by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Paul was bound by the Spirit to have this compassion. He had compassion to witness to people in places like Ephesus, places that were pagan and dark. Now we might say, boy, that's good because pagan places need the Lord. And places like, you know, China and places like Afghanistan, they need the Lord. But let me tell you something. America needs the Lord today. We live in a generation where children today know more about Harry Potter than they do the Ten Commandments. We have our president having a rap group to the White House. Young people today know more about the sexual lyrics of rap music than they do about Jesus, James, John, or any of the apostles. And we need some men and women who will go bound in their spirit to tell others compassionately, Jesus loves you and Jesus died for you and the Word of God will be your lamp. So Paul was bound by the Spirit to go on this journey. But notice secondly, he was burdened as well. He had a great burden. And the burden in verse 24 was to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. This man wanted to tell others about the death, burial, and resurrection. As we approach our 25th anniversary here at Lancaster Baptist Church, I remember those early days as we preached sometimes to 7 or 8 people and getting started in the ministry here. And the passion then and the passion today is the same, and that is to lift up the Lord Jesus Christ and to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. When you have a burden for others to be saved, it's a far, far more noble way to live than simply living for ourselves. That's the burden that Jesus had. In Matthew 9:36, the Bible says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. How about you, my friend? Is there someone, are there some people in your life that you're burdened for today? Perhaps your children, perhaps a neighbor, people that don't know the Lord, and yet Paul was bound with compassion and burdened with compassion for them. In Acts 18 and verse 5, the Bible says, and when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in his spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was the Christ. Now, I found this. When something is on your heart in the form of a burden or an excitement, you're going to tell other people about it. When the Lakers lost 4 in a row, it just moved some men that I know into a deep depression. And my youngest son, Matt, he's in mourning, I'm telling you what. And I called him up afterwards, hey, Matt, how you doing? Not good, Dad, not good. And he wanted to talk about it. It was on his heart. And out of the abundance of the heart, the Bible says a man does what? He speaks. But you know, when Jesus is on your heart, you want to tell others about Jesus Christ. And when you really believe that he is the Son of God who died for the sins of the world, you want other people to know that. Now, how do we know that Paul was real? Not some shyster, not some televangelist just after a buck. How do we know that Paul really was operating based upon a burden from God? Well, look at verse 20 again. What does it say? And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. In other words, he said, I had a passion to get this truth to everybody at Ephesus, and I wanted others to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now listen, whether it's going door to door, or whether it's talking to friends at lunch, at work, or talking to your relatives, telling others about Jesus, in my opinion, is one of the reasons that God has left air in my lungs. It's one of the reasons we're here, so that others can know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I heard about 2 young men that were out knocking on some doors, and they knocked on a lady's door. Her name was Vicky, and they said, hi, we're here from the church, such and so church. We're here to tell people about the Lord, and we have some things for you, and so forth, and they were passing out the gospel message, and the lady was so ticked off. You know, she's tired of these religious people coming by, and She gave him a few choice words. She said, "I don't want your religion. I'm tired of you guys knocking on my door." And she slammed the door on the young man. And when she did, the door just kind of bounced back. Well, that made her even madder. And so she again said some stuff, and then she slammed the door, and it bounced back again. She was just sure that one of those little fellows was putting his foot right in her door, you know. So she reared back again. She slammed the door. It bounced back again. Before she could slam it again, one of the young men peeked back in. He said, "Ma'am, before you do that again, you might want to move your cat." Now, the fact is that some of you guys that are not cat lovers, you just love that story a little too much, I could tell. But anyways, the fact of the matter was that that Vicky didn't want to hear it. You know, sometimes you meet people like that. I've met people like that. I've met people that have, you know, cussed me out, or they're not too happy to talk about the Lord. But I've got to tell you, there's still something in me that believes that this life is but a vapor and that everybody needs to know the Lord. And you see, that was what really bound the apostle. He with his heart and soul, wanted others to know Jesus Christ was the living God. And so he was bound by compassion, and that kept him going. It was of the Holy Spirit that he kept on going. But notice, secondly, he was bold in his time of tribulation. Now, tribulation comes to those that are faithful to God. If you haven't had some trials, no doubt there will come some into your life. In fact, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 4, "Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you." And every faith is going to be tested. In fact, a faith that cannot be tested is a faith that cannot be trusted. There's going to come testings and trials in our life. But notice in verse 22 again what the Bible says. "And now behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem." Notice this phrase. "Not knowing the things that shall befall me there." He says, I know there's going to be some trouble. I don't know what. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going. I'm going to go. I know some tribulations and some trials are going to come my way. Now, think about the trials of the Apostle Paul that he experienced. I don't know if these verses are in your notes. If they're not, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, or look in your outline if they're there. 2 Corinthians 11, 24, and listen to what Paul says about his trials. Now, just listen to this testimony. He says, "Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save once." So, five different times he was beaten with 39 stripes across his back with the cat of nine tails for preaching Jesus. "Thrice was I beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a day and a night I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils of heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils of false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness." Now, how many of you would agree Paul the Apostle can lecture us a little bit on tribulations? I mean, the man had been beaten time and again just for being a faithful witness for Jesus Christ. And sometimes in life, we have trials and we have tribulations, and it's during those times that it's a good thing that we've made this decision. None of these things will move me. I will be faithful to my Lord Jesus Christ. Some of you have heard of a man by the name of James Cash Penney, better known as J.C. Penney. J.C. Penney was born into a long line of Baptist preachers, and he did not choose the ministry. He chose to go into business, and as he went into business, he was a man known for tremendous convictions. He was unwaveringly honest. He was a tremendously hard worker. But in 1929, when the Great Depression came to America, J.C. Penney had made some business deals that went south. And J.C. Penney was unable to meet those obligations, and he began to go through a time of tremendous worry and concern and felt great burdens in his life. Because of those burdens, he was unable to sleep. And many times he would go to bed but never actually sleep. And he developed difficulties and, in fact, was in the hospital on one occasion with shingles and on other occasions with anxiety and difficulty with sleep and relaxation. Tranquilizers didn't seem to help him. His mental state deteriorated until he later said, "I was broken nervously and physically. filled with despair, unable to see even a ray of hope. I had nothing to live for. I felt as though I had no friend in the world and that even my family was against me. One night in the hospital, J.C. Penney was so oppressed, he did not think he would live through the night. He felt surely his heart would burst before he woke up the next morning. He sat down at the edge of the bed and he wrote a letter to his wife and his children and letting them know of his farewell. But somehow he did manage through the night. The next morning, he heard from the little chapel at the hospital down the way a song being sung. The song had words that went like this: "Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. God will take care of you." J.C. Penney moved to the edge of the bed and hobbled off that bed and went in towards the chapel, listening to those words, "God will take care of you." He heard the prayers that were made and the message that was given. He said that morning could only be described as a miracle, for he came out of the dungeon of despair and into the light of God's presence. All the worry had left him. From that moment on, J.C. Penney lived his life trusting in the Lord, and he described those 20 minutes in that hospital chapel as the most glorious 20 minutes of his life. When he died at age 95, there were 1,660 stores across America, a testimony not just to his strength, but to the fact that God did take care of him. You see, the fact of the matter is that through the trials of our life, there is a God in heaven who cares for us. And he says, "Casting all your care upon me," because he cares for us. Oh, in the times of trial, God was there. In the times of testing, God was there. Notice, if you would, in your notes there in verse number 23, he says, "Save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me." Paul said, everywhere I've been, I've had bonds, I've had afflictions, I've had difficult times. And if you intend to live for God on your job, if you intend to stand up for the Lord, there will be times of bonds or afflictions, perhaps in the sense of persecution. And yet, thank God that he is faithful to us. Thank God that he is there all the time for us. I think about missionary Gracia and Martin Burnham, who served in Mindanao in the Philippines. Some of you recall a few years ago how the Muslims captured them, and those involved in militant Islam took them away from their celebration of their anniversary, where they were staying in a seaside bungalow, and took them up into the mountains of Mindanao, where our son-in-law's parents are missionaries as well. And as they were taken captive, they were chained around a tree, and Martin and Gracia were never allowed to leave that tree, not to eat, not to use the restroom. They were chained to the tree. Why? Because of their faith in Jesus Christ and because they were American citizens. And yet they suffered faithfully for the Lord Jesus. Their captives gave them little in the way of dignity or provision, but they gave grace in return. Gracia and Martin were there around that tree day after day, suffering, and yet they suffered faithfully.
Well, you've been listening to Dr. Paul Chapel on today's edition of Daily in the Word. He's teaching and preaching through a series entitled Striving Together. We're rediscovering church life, how to strive together with other Christians in a fruitful and faithful local church family. You can hear all of the broadcasts in this series when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. Also, you'll find other resources like the Daily in the Word podcast or the devotional. We hope you'll subscribe to these and use them or pass them along to a friend. All of this is found at dailyintheword.org. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ as your personal Savior, I hope you'll do that right now. I hope you'll bow your head and heart wherever you may be and invite Jesus Christ into your life to be your personal Savior, your only Savior. Place your full trust in Him and accept His great gift of salvation. If you have questions about that, we sure would love to talk with you about it. I'll give you our toll-free number in just a moment. Don't forget, you can visit us online and find out a lot more about Daily in the Word and the ministry of Dr. Paul Chapel. On our website, you'll find a daily devotional along with an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading for every day. This complimentary devotional can come straight to your email box and help remind you every day to walk with God. If you follow it along throughout the year, you'll read through the Bible in a year. You'll find this and many other resources on the website, including this series with its recent broadcasts. And you can subscribe complimentary to the Daily in the Word podcast. You can download Daily in the Word to your computer, your phone, or your iPod, and take it with you to listen to at your convenience. All of this is to be found at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. If you'd like to call us, we sure would love to hear from you. Our toll-free number is 1-800-201-7748. Once again, that's 1-800-201-7748. Don't forget to visit us online at dailyintheword.org. And don't forget to look at Dr. Chappell's two newest books, Stewarding Life and Sacred Motives. You can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Thanks for being a part of today's edition. And until next time, have a great day.